the different loan products and compare them, mainly the CARES Act provisions, the Paycheck Protection Program, the EIDL, injury disaster loans, and just a tiny bit about the Small Business Debt Relief Program. That is not, they haven't given us a lot of information about that yet, but I can just go over what we do know. So the Paycheck Protection Act or program is to help businesses cover their near-term operating expenses, and this is related to the coronavirus. I have people very often coming and asking me if they can get new equipment with this, et cetera. This is not for new equipment. It's not to start a business. It's not to pay off existing debt. This is to help you cover your expenses directly related to the coronavirus. And it's also to provide a strong incentive for employers to keep their employees. So some of the other features are there's a loan forgiveness for up to 8 weeks of payroll based on employee retention and salary levels. There are no SBA fees, and there's a 6 to 12 month deferral on payments. Eligibility or have to be a small business. So if you're not sure if you qualify for being a small business by SBA standards, there is a tool that the SBA has to help you determine that. So I would just go to Size Standards SBA, and the, a tool you can tell what your industry, if your industry has some exceptions there. Generally, you can be a fairly large employer, have 500 employees in order to qualify. So 501c3s, nonprofit organizations are eligible. A 501c19 veterans organizations and tribal business concerns also are eligible. Also, individuals who operate a sole proprietorship or as an independent contract, and if they're also eligible, self-employed individuals. We've had some questions about that as well. I have a couple businesses that are home-based businesses with no employees, but they're not, and we kind of, we've been working on how to do that. I would say that's probably more of the EIDL than the PPP, because the EIDL isn't necessarily aimed just at employees. And some franchises do qualify, especially if the individual franchise location has under 500 employees. They have made some exceptions for restaurants and things like that as well. So if you're a franchise, look into it. You some can qualify. So you can use the loan, the money for payroll costs, and there's some restrictions, and I'll go over those in a minute. Costs related to continuation of health insurance and health care benefits. Employee salaries, commissions, or compensations. I need to take that out. payments of interest on any mortgage obligation, not to include prepayment of the mortgage or payment of principal. Rent, utilities, and interest on any debt that you incurred before the disaster. So that's interest only, not principal. The terms are $10 million maximum, and this is a change since yesterday. They've reduced the interest rate to 0.5%. Yesterday they were saying up to 4%, but today they said across the board it's going to be 0.5%. And the maturity, the years to maturity are 2 years. Yesterday they were saying up to 10 years, so they've reduced that. These will be administered by an SBA lender bank or other federally approved lenders. They have to be on the list of SBA lenders, 7A lenders. There are no prepayment penalties, and payments can be deferred up to 12 months. And I've had people ask me if you can turn it down, like you apply for it and you can turn it down. There's no penalty for applying. So if you decide you don't want it, you can also turn that down. So they determine the loan size based on your payroll. So if you were in business between February 15th, 2019 and June 30th, 2019, they're going to take your average monthly payroll costs during that time period and multiply it times 250 or 250%, 2.5. If you have it seasonal workers, so they might not come on board February 15th, you can change the date March 1st as your time period start date. So that would be March 1st to, I guess, June 30th as well. So if you weren't in business between February 15th, 2019, June 30th, it'll be equal to 250% of your average monthly payroll cost between January 1st and February 29th of 2020. So eligible payroll costs are compensation, which are salary, wage, commissions, or similar compensation, payment of cash tips or equivalent, payment for vacation, parental, family, medical, or sick leave, allowance for dismissal or separation, payments required for the provision of group health care benefits, including the insurance premiums, payment of any retirement benefits, payment of state or local taxes assessed on the compensation of employees. So if you're paying taxes to the state for your employees, that is also an eligible cost. So ineligible costs are if the employee or the owner compensation is over $100,000, it's capped at $100,000. Taxes imposed or withheld under chapters 21, 21, and 24 of the IRS code. That doesn't mean a lot to me, but if it applies to you, you should know that. compensation of employees whose principal place of residence is outside the U.S. So if you have overseas employees that don't live in the U.S., they would be excluded. And qualified sick and family leave also. So the documentation you're going to need when you apply, and I did mention that the applications are going to start being taken on Friday, the 3rd. Mm-hmm. But it's a good time to start gathering the information you're going to need. So employee wages for the last 12 months, so you can get a report of that. Make sure you include yourself, and report should be including paid time off, vacation, sick pay, family medical pay. And it's the advice, this was came from Huntington, the advice they said was the more you can show, the better, because it'll increase your loan amount. You'll want to get the documentation for your withholding for state and local taxes on employee compensation. Any 1099s you've paid to independent contractors. The documentation showing how much you paid in employee group health insurance premiums for the past 12 months, and documentation showing the amount of retirement plan funding that you made for employees over the past 12 months. So this includes profit sharing 401k plans, cash balance plans, simple and SEP IRAs. Okay, so the forgiveness process is not automatic. You have to apply for that. So you also going to have documentation verifying the number of employees on payroll and their pay rates during this period that you're getting the money for, the 8 weeks. Documentation verifying payments on covered mortgage obligations, lease obligations, and utilities. And certification from a representative of your business that indicates that the information you're providing is true. Yeah. Okay, so that's the PPP. And I would say that we are recommending people, first of all, you can apply for both. You don't have to just limit yourself to the PPP. But definitely this is for larger businesses with higher numbers in their payroll. The EIDL, is the economic injury disaster loans that we've been able to apply for since, I think, well, the state was declared a disaster, I think, right, 2 weeks ago. So that's when we've been able to apply for them. So the overview is, it's to provide working capital loans for business injury, again, related to the coronavirus. So the goal is to keep your business in business. Again, just like the PPP, it's not for business expansion, not to pay all debt, not to start a business. And these working capital loans can be used to pay fixed debts like rent, payroll, accounts payable, and other bills that would have been able to be paid if the disaster had not occurred. The EIDL, there's a little more options with the EIDL than there are with the PPP. With the EIDL, I believe that the principal can be also included in the loan amount, whereas with the PPP, it can only be interest on existing loans. So another feature is it has an option for a $10,000 advance, which is automatically forgiven to anyone who gets that. And it also has a 12-month payment deferral. So I went through the application yesterday. It's a very streamlined process. They don't ask you a lot of questions. Some of the information you're going to have to know is your revenues for the past 12 months and the cost of goods sold for the past 12 months. And there's just a box to click if you want to be considered for that $10,000 advance. And so you click the box and then you put in your bank account number, your routing number, and your name of your bank as well. All right, so the eligibility, there's more eligibility with the EIDL than with the PPP. So small businesses with not more than 500 employees, people who operate under a sole proprietorship with or without employees or an independent contractor. It can be a cooperative of not more than 500 employees, or an ESOP, which is an employee stock ownership plan with no more than 500 employees, a tribal small business concern, agricultural cooperative, aquaculture enterprise, nursery that is small under the SBA guidelines, and businesses over 500 employees that are considered small under SBA size guidelines. Also, nonprofits that are non-governmental agencies and they're operating under Section 501C, D, or E of the IRS code. And this came directly from the application. When you apply for this loan, there's a radial button that you click on how you are eligible. You just click on one. So you can use the EIDL loans for employee salaries, paid sick medical leave, insurance premiums, mortgage, rent, and utility payments. This has a $2 million maximum loan amount. The terms are 3.75% for small businesses and 2.75% for nonprofits. And this is administered directly by the SBA through an online application. There are no prepayment penalties, and payment can be deferred for 12 months. I'm not sure I put it in there, but the PPP is administered by the, I did have that in there, 7A lenders, the existing SBA lenders. So it's a difference of how you apply for that. And so the way to apply for the EIDL, here's the link. I actually walked through the application and recorded it. So I have a video that you can look and see what that form looks like at this link as well.
Okay.
I put a table here that compares the two side by side, so it makes it easier to compare.
That's great.
And again, you can apply for both. What was the last? Oh, and then the SBA or the Small Business Relief. I don't have a slide for that. If you have an existing SBA loan, they're forgiving or they're going to pay 6 months of payments, which includes principal, interest, and fees. If you are in the process of applying for that SBA non-disaster loan, you will still be, 6 months payment will still be covered under the SBA or the Small Business Relief Program. I don't have a lot more information than that. I've contacted the SBA to say, is this an automatic thing that your bank is, it's just going to happen, and that they didn't have information for me. They're just saying that 6 months will be paid by the SBA. So be aware of that if you have an existing SBA loan. Okay, and that's it, but generally we get lots of questions, so I don't know if I have the chat open.
I do have the chat open on here. I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to share this presentation that Kim did, so I'm going to stop sharing it now, or you did, and perfect. And then that way, if anybody does want to unmute and ask a question, you can. I do see a question from Samuel. Can anything be used for equipment leases? Anything used for equipment leases? Do you know about that?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
You have my email address and send it to me. I think they can be if they're existing leases. But I need to double check. I don't want to tell you yes if I'm not positive.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not sure. Go ahead.
I have, this is Jim Kesters. I have two questions, one dealing with the PPP. You say withholding state and local tax can be added back. What about federal matching for Social Security and FICA? Is that also being allowed to be added into the back into the formula?
I don't know about that either. Let me take notes on this because I'll find out and I'll email.
But you're saying the state and local taxes on payroll, but there aren't any state and local taxes other than the withholding. If you take the gross, you've got the withholding covered.
Yeah, well, I think there might be other states. This was for all states.
I
haven't seen anything about the FICA, but let me find that out and get back.
The second question is dealing with the EIDL. You say you take your average sales minus cost of sales. What if you're a professional organization, like a medical office, and you don't have a cost of sales? You basically have your gross sales. I mean, I can make a cost of sales up by going in and saying, okay, I'm going to take the salaries as cost of sales, but part of the salaries are administrative. What do you do if you don't have a cost of sales? Because there is no product we're selling, it's a service.
They're not asking for your revenues minus your cost of sales. They're asking for those two different numbers.
Yeah, but in the application, I thought as I read through it and you presented it here, it says that the amount of loan that you get is your cost of sales minus the sales minus the cost of sales. And you come up with a gross margin percent and you use that gross margin percent into your average sales. And that's how you get to your monthly six months sales amount. So I can do it just on sales, but it's obvious going to be much, much higher for a professional office because we don't have a cost of sales.
Well, I would, who's doing the selling? The payroll for that? I mean, do you have commissions that are part of the cost of sales? Do you have, you know, how are people finding it out? I don't know the answer, so yeah. Right.
I can make the cost of sales because we've got direct people that are associated with the doctors and the nurse practitioners and so forth that are directly applied against it. And I can do that, but, I guess maybe that's in a business, your product is your main cost of sales, and this would be our product as our doctors.
Well, and there's a lot of service businesses So they're not excluding service businesses. And they did streamline the application. So they're not asking for that. They're asking for what they are. And then they're going to come back and talk to you or ask you for more information. And that's when the clarification would come in. I think the initial application was overwhelming. And so they've seriously streamlined it. And then they're going to take it individually and find out or ask you for additional information.
All right. Thank you.
Awesome. I do have a couple questions here in the chat. One or two that kind of go together are there any restrictions on the forgiveness option, and also any options, specific options for childcare centers, if you happen to know that, Kim?
The forgiveness is going to be based on if you keep your employees on at full salary. So they're going to look and make sure that you've used it to keep people employed.
Okay.
If you don't, they'll reduce the forgiveness amount. They've indicated that. I haven't seen anything specifically for child care. I have not.
That you know. Okay. Nothing specific. Okay. Fair enough. We do have that question. So if you do hear something, maybe just let me know if along the way.
Yeah.
If you remember.
No, I'm writing them down. So.
Okay. That's awesome. Perfect. Perfect. I had another question in here. I had another person asking about the equipment lease. So that's definitely something that is in people want, business owners want to know. Should employers applying for the PPP also apply for the Shared Work Ohio program? So will the PPP affect EE unemployment benefits?
It could, because your forgiveness amount will be based on your payroll.
Right.
So if you cut your employee payroll in half, even though they're still getting money from unemployment, your costs have gone down.
Right.
So, and with the equipment lease, if it is eligible, it would be through EIDL.
Okay.
But I'll make sure. I don't think that is a option with PPP. That's not one of the things that they've listed.
Okay.
But I'll check and see if it's available. It's an option through EIDL.
That's perfect. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of questions here. Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to try really hard to do this. Jim, I see you have a question, and I'm going to let you say your question while I read through these.
Thank you. Yeah, my question was on, I guess, with like hairstylist or tattoo artist, how they're independent contractors and have a booth rent to the owner. Would that qualify under like the EIDL, under the advance? I mean, any thoughts there?
But you wouldn't be getting their booth rent. So
the stylists have been shut down, but they still own rent under their contract. So would they be eligible because it's rent?
So would they be eligible? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should be eligible for that. And they're even eligible under the PPP, depending, you know, on payroll costs. In fact, I talked to a lady yesterday who does not have employees, and her salary is still not being paid. So, and she's an LLC. She wouldn't be eligible for unemployment. So that's where she would fit in, is to list her salary as a payroll cost.
But if they do qualify as an independent contractor who now gets unemployment and they're not an LLC, would they be able to apply for the EIDL on top of their unemployment to cover the rent expense to hold their chair?
Yeah, they could apply for it. I can't tell you if they're going to get approved. I haven't heard about who they're approving and who they're not. However, I do know that they I think that $10,000 payment that goes out is going to be pretty much across the board. So I tell people, even if you're not sure if you qualify, go ahead and apply. We also heard that, so these are loans, and you still need to qualify for loans. And there was a lot of people initially that were very concerned that their credit scores weren't good enough. But they are looking at lower credit scores, and this was very unofficial. But we had someone say 5.75, or not 575 was the cutoff. That came from a bank, but I haven't heard that from the SBA. But they are looking at people with lower credit scores and still approving them. And that a lot of times that does apply to those independent contractors. So I would go ahead and apply.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I've had a couple people ask specifically about being able to apply for all three loans. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as you don't double dip. So if you apply for payroll through the PPP, that's not what you'd be applying for the EIDL.
Okay.
They just are looking that you only get paid for the same thing once.
Right. So you want to make sure you're piecing each loan to what it applies to for this.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Tanya's question. Nine employees laid one off. Can she bring the employee back and so that she qualifies for the PPP? Would we contact unemployment and pay back her compensation?
No, they're telling you just to, if you're going to hire someone back, they're not going to penalize you.
Okay.
If you already laid people off, it's not going to be penalized.
Okay.
So, and you would, and that wouldn't be a reason not to be qualified. It just means that the forgiveness might not be the whole 8 weeks, or they might adjust the forgiveness amount.
Okay. All right. Another question, interesting, is what happens if we end up being closed for longer than expected and we're locked into keeping those employees on the payroll beyond what we've been granted loan funds to cover? So is there a requirement there?
They're not saying.
Not saying, okay.
Yeah, but what they are saying, you can only have one PPP loan. But whether or not they're going to extend it or do something else, if need be, we haven't heard. I do know with the EIDL, you can go back and request additional funds.
Lots of questions today. Anyone else have lots of questions here? So let me try to get through here. Someone's asking about grants, being able to qualify for certain grants through all these. Any insight on grants?
No, grants are kind of hard to come by generally. Now, if you're looking at like a CBER program, those programs are still in operation, the SBIR programs, like if you're developing new technology or anything like that. So those are still continuing. But grants specifically for this, we're considering that $10,000 of EIDL actually a grant because, yeah.
Okay, that may be
There might be local grants, but we don't know of all the anything local. I mean, so.
Nothing local, okay.
Yeah.
One question for the PPP, is the loan amount based on average monthly payroll only, or the average monthly payroll plus the rent and utilities, etc.?
It's a payroll only, and I think that's why they do 250%, because it would be, double the payroll, like 2 months of payroll, plus another 50%.
Okay, hopefully that answers your question, Steve. Anyone else want to chime in with a question? Here's one. When do employee salaries recently cut have to be reinstated in order to not be penalized under the PPP? We may have already answered that. Did we answer that one? When do employee salaries recently cut have to be reinstated?
Again, I don't have a good answer on that, but they did say that you're not going to be penalized if for what you've already done to recover.
Okay.
I have a question. How quickly will we be able to get cash in hand once the application is submitted?
With the EIDL, they're saying 3 days after it's approved, or and I don't know how long that whole process is taking, and that's why they're asking for your routing number with the EIDL. With the PPP, those come directly from the bank. Banks can do them usually pretty fast. But again, I think that would depend on the particular bank.
All right, thank you.
Okay. One question that just came in. How do we determine the number of jobs for the PPP application?
Like FTEs or full-time employees, is that? I haven't submitted an application on that yet. I just got that last night, and I've been trying to, so I haven't looked at the form. Did the person that asked us, have they looked at the form and they're asking that?
Yeah, I don't know. Have you looked at the form? I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, it's me. Yes, I have looked at the form, and it was a question. I just wasn't sure if we were taking an average number of employees or just full time, or if you had any insight into that.
I don't have insight, but when you with the ACA, the Affordable Health Care, it was based on FTEs or equivalent. So if you had two part-time, that equaled one full-time. So I would think it would be similar, but I don't know for sure.
Okay. Okay. And then also I was wondering if you knew of anywhere where there was possibly a sample calculation for the average monthly payroll and what's included in that. I know you had a good slide on that, but anywhere else?
I would think that you should be able to get that information for that 3 months, I think, or February 15th through June 30th, and do the calculations yourself. I mean, if you know what you've paid.
Okay. Yeah. And that would be too, because that was the first time I'd seen actually from February through June.
Yeah.
So we're just taking salaries from February 15th through June 30th, correct?
Of 2019.
Of 2019, and then averaging those out per month, an average per month. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
Sure.
I do see Bren has a question here. Let me see if I can get this. Any idea when we will know about the 6 months paid by SBA existing loan will be for sure. Oh, typing is tough. Existing loan will be for sure thing. So we don't include the amount in our PPP application. Okay. Any idea when we would know about the 6 months paid by the SBA existing loan?
They're not asking for that application, I don't think, or they shouldn't be. I have to look at the application. But it's supposed to be based on payroll numbers, not on, whereas you can use the money you get for that. That's not what they're, I have to double check that, because I haven't gone through the actual loan itself for the paperwork. So,
okay.
Let me look at that, and I'll,
okay.
So we got, they're just not telling us about that, a small business relief. They just gave us an overview and then no details. So, okay. And it looks to me like it's going to be automatic. But they haven't said that exactly. So,
okay, fair enough. Still a lot of information out there to be presented to us. So it's going to be tricky.
And if Liz, if people don't mind sending, have their email sent to me, what I'll do is make sure you're all in our constant contact. Cause whenever I get information, I try to push it out as soon as I have a grasp of it.
Yes, you do. I do get your emails, and I have been putting that information on my website so that I can quickly share it with anybody who is looking. So that is out there. I do have another question here. What if you open the business in March of 2019? Would you take the February to June 2019 option, or do you roll it into January through February of 2020? So I'm guessing this, Drew, do you want to explain that? I see you're available there a little better.
Oh, not hearing you.
Nope. He's either muted. So maybe he just started his business. So maybe you have more employees now than he did then, or more payroll than he did now since he just started in March.
Yeah. I would compare the two and see which one looks better because you weren't in business when the February 15th that they say. So I would see which one kind of looks better. They're saying the same thing with your income tax as an individual. So they're going to look at 2019, but if you haven't done 2019, they'll look at 2018. So maybe you should evaluate which is a better year if you haven't submitted 2019 yet. So that's what I would. And then if they don't, you know, and the other thing that I don't think I mentioned, and I don't know what since with the PPL, PPP, you're going to be working with the bank, I think you'll be able to ask a lot more questions and a lot more feedback. But with the EIDL. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I do have the list of the SBA approved lenders. I got that this morning too, that I'm going to put on my website. So people can see that list and know who in the Miami Valley is part of that SBA lender list.
And with the EIDL, if you get denied, you have 6 months to reapply. Like they'll tell you why you're denied, and you'll get 6 months to explain it and reapply, or not reapply, but get reconsideration. Okay. The other thing is, I know that people who submitted last week, that were able to submit last week before they made all the changes, I think most of them have gotten denials because they are asking people to go back in and resubmit through the new platform. So if you did it already, say last Wednesday, go back into the new platform and put the information in. So
that's good to know. I did not know that. Another question was excluding federal payroll taxes from the calculation.
Let me look at that again. Yeah, they're not talking about federal payroll taxes.
Okay.
I that might be incorrect, but everything I got did not mention that. That would be a question to ask your actual lender that you go to, the 7A lender.
Excellent. So, mm-hmm. Excellent. Yeah, hopefully that helps you, Julie. And then Dan is asking, are we able to apply for just the $10,000 $10,000 grant through the EIDL without taking the additional loan with the program, and then apply for the PPP loan separately?
Yeah, you can apply for the EIDL, and you don't have to take any additional funds you can say no. The other thing with the, I just lost my train of thought. Back and out. We'll skip over that now. I don't know.
Okay. I think that helps.
Well, I know it was collateral. So if you were going to apply for the EIDL, if you ask for $25,000 or less, there's no requirement for collateral. And with the PPP, there's no requirement at all. So just so you're aware.
That is good to know that as well. Okay, I think I got through all the questions.
Okay.
I have to admit, that was quite an adventure trying to read all this and listen at the same time. So I appreciate all your information, Kim. And
I probably should have had one of my other people on, because when we do one together, we have somebody that answers questions and somebody that talks.
I know. I'm going to have to get a pal to help me do this, because this is this is pretty funny. I appreciate all the conversation today about it. That's for sure. I think there's going to be a lot more questions as this progresses and you get more information. So I look forward to getting your emails and information, and I'll definitely share this with everyone who's on the call today. Again, if you're on the call and you want the information and I don't know you or recognize you, make sure to shoot me an email. My email is liz@tipcitychamber.org. Pretty easy to remember. Again, it's liz@tipcitychamber.org. Sorry. And so that way I can email you and we can exchange those conversations. Kim, if you can hang on just a few more minutes, that'd be great, unless
sure.
you have to get to another call. But
I'm going to just mute my...
Perfect. That's awesome. I'm going to turn... I did record, Kim.